Well, good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. I'm going to do the moving, okay? A little in my face here. I say welcome again to all the visitors and those who are online. I know there's, like, say hello to the Evans. She's in quarantine, but they're going to be tuning in. And I'd like to say thank you to Austin for the wonderful introduction, because your program, you probably hacked my system, because it's actually a good, wonderful introduction to what I will be speaking on today. You know, I was thinking about going through and picking up the prophecy series we started, and I promise, but something came to my mind over this last couple weeks that I thought was a little bit more important to cover. And I can tell it really was because of what we just heard. We do a lot of time, sermon time up here, speaking to our adults, to those who have been in the church for a while, going through it, seen it, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Far too often, we fail to address our younger. Not just our kids, not just our teens, I'm talking about our younger adults. Even, yes, Austin too. They need to be talked to. They need inspiration. Although I will be addressing them today, what I will cover, as you will notice, will be beneficial for everyone. But again, I want to talk to our younger adults because they're facing something. Our teens, they're facing challenges in this society that we can honestly say we never thought would ever come to pass. They're facing things that are tough, watching a society crumble. They're raising the next generation in this society as well. They need help. But even if everything in your life right now is fine, just like the weather in Ohio, give it 5 minutes. It will change. It will change. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged to take your mind off finishing and following through. You're going to be challenged to take your eyes off the hope that's been set before you. So, I want to address you today on this subject. And as a way of foundation of this, I want to speak on something that we experienced in our house over the last few weeks. I've already got his permission. He knows, my son. So I'm not embarrassing him. It was a fine example. When he returned from ABC, his goal was to get a job. He tried over and over all kinds of jobs, but he kept getting rejected. Rejected because he would not work Friday to Saturday. In a job market that's needing workers and needs employers, he kept getting turned down job after job. And then one day he gets a call that he really was excited about to come in for an interview. And he went in, and I encouraged him, just stand firm, son, stand firm. God is going to provide. He went to the interview. And before he made it home, he called me so excited, Dad, I did what you said. I told them. I stood firm about my convictions. I told them I would not compromise. And the employee you will be getting will be a dedicated employee based upon those convictions. Someone you can trust. And he was so excited. He goes, Dad, they offered me the position. They even gave me all the paperwork to fill out. A few minutes later, he come home. He was still excited. And throughout the day, he was working on it. And we're talking. But that excitement was ripped from his hands. In a cruel text from that boss, he says, we reconsidered. I need people to work Friday nights or Friday evenings and, you know, Saturdays. That's required. We rescind the offer. That crushed him. That crushed me to watch my son go from happiness to just sorrow. Especially when I'm the one encouraging him. Just do what God says do. It will work out, son. And it got stripped away in that manner. You know, I felt his pain. And he experienced a tough afternoon. And I was there with him. I took him out as a father and son time. And we talked about the principles of what he stood up for. And I said, there's some very valuable things to think about, especially in Matthew. And if you want to go ahead and turn over to Matthew 10, we'll get there in a second. But I told him, you stood for God. You stood up for what he taught you first, even though the turn of events did not happen the way you would imagine. He said, I told him, our father was just as pleased with you as I am right now, even in this moment, because of those convictions you are willing to hold firm to. And then these encouraging scriptures really helped. Matthew 10, let's pick it up in verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you are being taught, it's not just for your own learning. It's for you to put together, to follow through, to stand, to be changed. Live it. Don't be ashamed. We'll get to that later because that's a very important aspect of how we walk. If it's spoken to you and it's part of who you are, live it. Speak it. Even in your young ages, those who have not even been baptized yet, God's Spirit's working with you. It's changing you. Don't hide it. God has given you something. You're living sermons as well. And what you hear in the ear, yeah, and you're learning. Preach it on the housetop. Be that symbol of hope. Do not fear those who could kill the body. Don't fear those who says, I can't give you a job. I'm not going to let you work for me if you don't bow down to my rules. You can't go to this college unless you do it this way. You can't play on this team. You have no career. Don't fear those. No. Don't fear those who can kill but can't kill the soul. But rather fear him. Respect him who was able to destroy both soul and body. Hell. Know what's most important. Know where life truly comes from. Know what your life should be based upon. Know what's more important. Then he goes on about the sparrows. That those simple things you might see in this life, God knows about that. It's important to him. Aren't you much more valuable to God? He knows. He cares. He sees this. Even the very hairs of your hair. You're younger, you got a lot. So that means he's caring about you a lot. But he knows you're before him. And here's what I want to focus in on. Verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, those who stand firm despite what's being thrown at them, Christ says, I will confess you before my Father. Christ even say, I saw that. And our Father will say, so did I. But then he goes on to say, but of course, if you deny, the same will be to you as well. I saw that. If you want a title, that's the title of this message. I saw that. I reminded my son, God witnessed you stand up for what you believe. He witnessed you put his way first. He witnessed you taking Matthew 6, seeking first his righteousness, his kingdom, and trusting that God can take care of what you can't. Yes, it's tough. And I told him, I do not know how God is going to respond. I do not have the answers, but I am fully convicted that our God would do what he does for your good. Because that's what God promised. And I encourage him, hear those words. I saw that. I saw that. And I encourage him, trust in what God would do. But during this time, it was a very interesting time in his life. This emotional roller coaster took place just prior to his baptism, prior to Passover, unleavened bread, this whole plan. And I urged him, son, focus on what you're about to do. Focus on that covenant with your God. Focus on these holy days. And let God be God. Because he's pretty good at being God. Now, I want to pause that story. We'll come to it towards the end in about 2 hours. But I want to pause that. We will finish. Because I mentioned, it's moments like this. Your character is going to be put to the test. And it's not easy because everything that God offers is worth the struggle. So God wants you to understand, what is this worth to you? You're going to face this and your character will be put to the test. And Satan will try to interject in these moments to try to influence you to give up. It's not worth it. God's word's not true. He wants us to forget about what God has placed in your heart. Not your parents, your heart. Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Solomon says, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are occupied. He goes, I see what this world offers. I see the joy. I see the goals that we all want. They're wonderful. He has made everything beautiful in its time. We all want to be successful. Some people like to talk to ducks. He said, it's important. It's a good thing. Also, he has put eternity. Here's the thing. He has put eternity in their hearts. God created that desire. He created a purpose. He created more. He wants you to feel it. He wants you to believe it. Except, he says, no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning end. You can't do it of yourself, though. You got to have something greater. And Satan don't want you to connect to that greater. That's why he's test. Verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. God gave you that drive. God wants you to fall through. God wants you to feel that satisfaction in this life. And it's very important that you do. We need to feel that. But far too often, our younger people, and some, it's all across the board too, those promises feel like a million miles away. Every time we read these inspirational scriptures, we often go to that point, well, let's be honest, I've heard that before. Yeah, right. You know, if you took a stock in my life, have you walked in my shoes? Nothing works out for me. That's what Satan wants you to get lost in. He wants you to get lost when you're up against everything. This is when you turn. This is when you turn, you remember what's been whispered in your ear, what you've learned. This is when you stand firm. Never get to the point where you think my hopes and dreams in the church can't exist in the same scenario. Because I'm here to encourage you, have hope. God said they can. And God cannot lie. He will not lie. He has promised you that. God gave you these hopes and dreams. He created, again, that ability for you to have that. But as we heard in that sermonette, God desires for you to seek Him. To seek Him and help reveal how those hopes and dreams can be achieved. He don't want you to let this corrupted culture profane the definition of what true success is for a man and woman of God. Don't allow it to defile you, thinking you got to do it their way to achieve what God has placed in your heart. Follow through with what you've been taught. Now, I want to make sure you understand. This is not a sermon where we're going to break some biblical code that you can force God to give you what you want. This is not a health and wealth gospel message. What this will do is highlight how your loving, merciful Abba, your daddy wants to see you succeed in this life. Succeed in a way that only Abba can help. Abba don't want you to fail. Abba wants you to learn. Abba wants to help you get up. Abba will not tempt you to walk away from Him. He will give you what you need to walk toward Him. In fact, isn't that what Christ, one of the reasons He said He came in John 10, verse 10 to 11? I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly, based upon what God brings, what Christ is revealing. And he says, how are you going to get that? Through me. The good shepherd. A shepherd who's willing to lay his life down for you. Again, only that type of joy, only that type of abundant living can come from God. Everything else that this world will try to offer you is temporary. It will leave you sorrowful. It will leave you with regret. And you will be lonely in the end. Despite what Satan tries to whisper in your ear, only God can supply your true heart's desire. So stand firm. Stand firm. Don't let Satan blind you from understanding the purpose of where God is leading you. Don't let him place barriers between you and the goal, thinking you can never achieve it. Remember, if you look at it as man does, it is impossible. But with your God, and following through what he lays before you, all things, to his glory, all things are possible. When I think about that, I remember watching this gentleman. His name is Whitley Phipps. He's the founder of the American Dream Academy, and he's also a singer-songwriter. And he was given some interesting advice. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, or church, I don't think it's Church of God Seventh-day. It was a Seventh-day Adventist or something along that way. And he was trying to make it in the music business. And he just kept hitting dead end. He's just complaining. He's down south. And he's complaining about how tough it is to climb, how tough it is to try to do anything in this world when you have convictions and commitments. And a little old lady walked up to him and said, "Son, if the mountain was smooth, you could not climb it. If the mountain is smooth, it's impossible to climb." She was talking about perception. Change your perception and change what you see right before you. God is revealing to you how to change your life in the way that all things can be made possible. That rocky terrain gives you grip, handholds, gives you what you need. When you walk in this world that you're not a part of, you may see things as obstacles, but God is revealing to you opportunities. Yes, it's going to seem hard. It's going to seem impossible if you try to do it yourself. But with God's help, that tough uphill climb will be made possible, but you have to be willing to take the step. You have to be willing to engage. You have to be willing to go to God and ask him to show you the path to go up that mountain, and also thank him for not making that mountain smooth. Thank him for making it worth your while. Ask him for that direction, then climb. And remember, it takes faith. And ask him to give you his eyes to see. Just like we can read in Hebrews 1. Faith is the substance of things you're going to hope for. It's going to be the evidence of things you can't see with your own eyes. So you need a connection. In fact, we all go through that throughout our life. Mark 9. We're going to work our way to verse 22 in a second. But the section's about a man who knows Christ can heal. He has a son who's demon-possessed. And can you imagine watching your children go through something like that? And you've seen what Christ can do, and you know. You come. You come to that mountain, and you ask. Verse 22, Oh, 21 says, so he asked his father, how long has this been happening? He said, from childhood. I mean, this is long term. It feels like the world is just crushing and falling away. And as often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. This world, Satan, is trying to destroy my son. I'm coming to you. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father cried out and said, Lord, I believe, but help. Help my unbelief. God, I believe you can give me a job, but help me. That hurt. It was snatched out of my hand. I know you're God. Help. We all need help, no matter who we are, because we are weak. We're going to be tested, and it's hard. The idea of faith and the application are two different things. We have to walk. There's not one person in this room who hasn't faced that challenge. There's not one person who has not walked before you in this room and at times struggle with that fact and have to cry out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. When you get to that point, you may feel that you're end of your rope. You're going to feel helpless, but cry out, Daddy, help me. Help me. I know you're there, but help me. And I promise you, this is not weakness. This is not weak. This is a sign of humility. This is a sign of a character trait that a man and woman of God possess. To know they need something greater than self to keep moving. And they go to the source for the answer. Don't be ashamed. And don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn like me. Like Jeff. No. Be brave. The answers you seek are only a prayer away. The motivation to take that next step is within your grasp. You just have to seek your God. You have to follow through. Get on those knees. Or if you try to break your foot and you can't get on your knees like I did yesterday, lay down. And ask. Pray. Open this word and saturate your life with what it's offering you. Just open it. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50. Let's read an example of what this change can help do. A perception. Isaiah 50 verse 7. I mentioned in Youngstown, Isaiah 50 verse 4 helped me change my perception when I got a call saying, you're going to go pastor four congregations that you have no idea that you're going to be so far north. And I said, huh? How is that going to happen? Verse 4 was a scripture I read all the time. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak. A word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as a learned. I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't. Just like many of us, almost every one of us in this room need direction. But I want you to look at verse 7. Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Definitive statement. He will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. I don't care what they said about me. It hurt, yes, because I'm human. But my God will help me. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. I am determined to keep walking forward. I can keep pushing forward. I'm determined to keep going. And I know that I will not be ashamed. I will not be ashamed to call myself a son of God. I will not be ashamed to say I will not work on my Lord's Sabbath. I will not be ashamed to uphold His law of life. No, He is near who justifies me. He's not far off. But I know how. I have a connection. I've spent this time building a relationship to Him. And this is not going to pull me away. No, He's near who justifies me. Then who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Because surely the Lord God will help me. He will help you. No matter if your dreams seem to be crushed. Change your perception. I want to share with you a true story. In the mid to the late 1950s, there was a young man, a young musician who grew up just up the road here in Cleveland. He began to get the attention of the music industry. Very talented. Very talented. He had the look. He had the voice. He had the talent, the drive, the total package to sell records. In fact, he was already had 3 Decca records. In those days, that was, you're on the way to the big time. They told him he was the next Elvis. He had a dream. He had a dream. He wanted to touch the world through music. He wanted to change lives. However, one day when he was meeting with a music executive, he was told, "You're never going to make it, son. You're never going to make it." And he said, "Why?" Because they said, "You have morals. You have a character that's going to prevent you from compromising, doing what is necessary behind these closed doors to advance your career. You're not willing to do it, so it's hopeless. You need to find another line of work." Crushing. Because he was good. Again, the next Elvis. Really good at what he did. But that weakness that they saw was a strength that God placed in his heart. So what did he do? He went back and he prayed. Got on a bus, went to a distant place called Pasadena, California. Went to Ambassador College. Dropped the name Kenny Lee Martin and became a minister of Jesus Christ called Ken Martin. He toured the world, all right, but with a better message. He touched the world with a better reputation. He made a greater impact with better results. He would touch the lives in a way that music could not reach. You have me as your pastor because of what he was willing to do. Step back. And Daddy, I believe. Help my unbelief. Powerful. Powerful. How can you do such as that? Well, let's walk through the scriptures here. I want to share with you some encouraging scriptures, and we're going to go through fast. Probably not going to give you time to write them down. We'll turn to some, but if you want them afterwards, we will. These are important scriptures to help you know how did Kenny Lee Martin become Ken Martin? How did a timid Southerner become your pastor? How did those around you become who they are in the household of God? Hebrews chapter 4. Things you should think about. Keep these. Write them down. And I want you to study them. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God, it's living. It's not just a manuscript. It's not a book to make you feel good. This, you want life? Put life in your life. Put this. And it's not just living, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will pierce even the division of the soul and spirit. When you feel like somebody's trying to compromise and you don't know what to do, you're at a crossroad, use this word. It will remove what's trying to infiltrate your heart and reveal to you what God has placed there. The discerner of the thoughts and the intents of that heart, it will help you make sense of what's going on around you. And then again, it even tells you, you even have a high priest in verse 14. And then verse 16 ties right back into sermonette. Follow through, come boldly. Not arrogantly, but boldly to that throne of grace where you may find and you may obtain mercy and find grace in that time of need. Know where your life comes from. 2 Timothy. Again, many of you are baptized. Some of you may not be. God's Spirit works with you. Follow through so you can have that Spirit within you. But that Spirit's still powerful. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, he's telling young Timothy. But it can tell, remind us the same thing. Don't let that outside convince you how I want you to live. Stir up what I gave you, that what it was taught in the ear. What happened in these doors? It ain't out there, but go out there. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. Don't be timid. Don't be ashamed. You won't be disgraced. God gave you power. Something that's of love. What God is. True love, not as the world says, which gives you a sound mind. You can continue. Chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Follow through. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Because you won't compromise. You keep looking forward. In Hebrews 2, he reminds you, why you don't need to be ashamed. In Hebrews 2, verse 11, he says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call you his brethren. He sees you as family. He sees you as them. And then you think about this word. You think about his relationship. And I don't have time to go there. But Ephesians, in the end of chapter 6, talks about this armor. That's what this word is doing. It's helping. It's protecting you. But he also says that armor, you have to take it up. Even our little children, who are not so little anymore. You're growing up right before our face. They benefit for this. But us, he says, you take it up so that you can withstand those attacks. And you don't just put it on. You do everything you can to stand. You have to put forth the effort and be bold to enter this way of life. Romans 12, 1 through 2. You know it like the back of your own hand, I'm sure, because I use it almost every other sermon. You know what's expected of you. God didn't hide it. So he says, prove what's holy. Prove that perfect will. Don't let this world try to make you conform. Transform. Be brave. Do what God expects of you. Paul had to learn that. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Paul had to learn this in 2 Corinthians 12. Remember, he's having all these problems, and he's saying, hey, take this thing, it's like a messenger of Satan, away from me. Can you just ask God 3 times? Can't you make it easier for me? Can't you make the mountain smooth? You hear God saying, son, if I made that mountain smooth, you couldn't do what you're doing. My grace, verse 9, is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Trust me, Paul. Trust me, Jacob. Trust me, Bryson. Trust. You feel weak because you are weak. But when you let me become the core of who you are, My strength is going to be made perfect in you. And Paul got that point. He says, wow, it makes sense in verse 10. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I can keep going. You can put in your notes, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. Could you imagine? You thought, I think I felt bad when they are scared to death and they said, you're going to be a pastor of four congregations. Joshua says, gets told, you're going to be the leader of a nation. Huh? You want me to do what? But what he said, what did he tell him? Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you all the days of your life. Be strong. Be of good courage. Remember, don't turn away from this book, this two-edged sword. Don't turn away from a living word that has a power to help you. Hold fast. Sometimes we're this close and we can't see the forest because we got our nose so deep into the bark of the tree. And God wants to tell you it's right around the corner, just like he told Habakkuk, I'm going to do a work so great in your day, if I told you all the details, you wouldn't believe it. That's what God is trying to tell you. You don't have to know details. That's part of faith. But just like when Israel, we just rehearsed, when they came out, got the job, we're out of here. We're traveling. And then you come into this big roadblock called the Red Sea. You got mountains around you. And then, oh no, here comes that guy again. He wants to destroy me. Well, God, you promised. I can't believe it now. I'm dumbfounded. How could this happen? And he said, stand still. There are going to be times when you're going to have to stand still and quit thinking you're going to be the answer and go to the one who has the answer. And when he opens that sea, he says, forge onward in faith. I'll take care of it. But you got to see it. You got to believe it. One of my favorites, I'll turn here, 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6. Elisha and his servant are not in too good a place by man's standards. You know, they're being attacked. They're on top of a mountain. In verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, he's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. We're surrounded. There's no way out. Wow, why did God bring us up to this point? What does he expect me to do? But start shaking in my boots. He goes out. He rose early. He saw that there was an army surrounded the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to me, I lost my master. What shall we do? So he answered, do not fear. Don't sink into the abyss of despair. Cry out. I believe. Help my unbelief right here because I can count. There's two of us. I know there's probably more. I'm just talking about them two. And there's a lot of them. So he answered him. He said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Can you imagine a servant said, I don't think you passed math class. That don't look right. Well, tell him the servant, I'm going to do a work today that if I told you right now, you wouldn't believe it. So what did Elijah have to do? Elisha prayed and said, Lord, help this little pastor from North Canton understand how this is going to work. Help this individual know how they're going to overcome such a great adversity. He said, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Don't get to the point where you sink in despair, when you think you're never going to make it. Ask your Abba for eyes to see as he sees. Don't just read these scriptures. Live these scriptures. They're living. Live them. Bring them into your life. It's by living them that you will discover who you are. You're going to discover the potential that was placed in your heart. Satan's going to do everything he can to keep you from seeing that. He's going to make you think that all these trials are just, it's on me. It's like that commercial where it just rains on my house. It just rains on my head. And everybody else has got everything going for them. They got sunshine and fields and I have nothing. No. No. You are facing trials. And we're told in 1 Peter 4, rejoice. Rejoice in the fact of why you're being persecuted. It's because who you stand with. What you stand for. And you're not alone. Just like the man of God had to show the servant. You're not alone. Hebrews 12 speaks to that very fact. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. It's written in here. You have them in this room, this camaraderie, this brotherhood, this family. It's all around you. Look for the inspiration. Ask for it. Read it. Be encouraged. Forge onward. I encourage you to go. If you think your life's bad, go back and read Ruth, especially during this time of year. So often, we don't see the human side of what really happened. Can you imagine what she had? She had a family. Been exposed to some wonderful things. A husband, brother-in-law, father-in-law, a great family. Husband dies, brother-in-law dies, father-in-law dies, surrounded by death. And now the only connection to yet this life is going to leave and says, no, you stay here. It'd be best for you to stay here. Are you feel Ruth's pain? You feel that pain? What did Ruth do? Ruth said, no, I can't go back. I can't accept that. She wanted to go forward. She held on. Ruth said, and you know, this is important. She had done what is stated in Psalm 34:8. She had tasted and seen that the Lord was indeed good, and she had been blessed because she trusted him. Well, what would this situation change? No, she was not going to let it push her away. Even in the face of sorrow, she clung to it. She cried out, entreat me not to leave you. I don't want to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more, if anything, anything separates. That's what she wanted. It was her vision. Not only did Naomi recognize her heart, God saw that. God saw what she's up against. Ruth was willing to give up everything, even if it meant facing destitution, even if it meant facing her own death as a result. And she didn't do it to seek a blessing. Naomi didn't really have much, didn't have anything. She didn't do it for a blessing. She did it because of what she had been exposed to. And she loved it above all else. How? How can we do that? How did she do it? Many of you know Dr. Ward. Goes all the way back and held on a lot of positions in the church. Dr. Ward is a retired pastor down in Texas now, but he often spoke of something I'll share with you in a second that perfectly explains how this position is possible. How did Ruth face it? How will you face it? It's because it's not a reaction. You're not just reacting. You're responding because of what has already been ingrained in your heart and mind. That's more important. Now I want you, especially our young people, if you haven't heard this, I want you to write this down. I want you to write these things down. Dr. Ward called them the three C's. These are important because they will help you through your life. They will help you, especially in the moments when you come face to face with such a great trial. The first one, the first of the three C's, conviction. Conviction. Be completely convicted of who you are. Be convicted because you have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt why you do what you do. It is who you are. It's who your identity is all about. Number two, the second C, commitment. Commitment. Keep your eyes, keep your heart, keep your mind focused on the goal. Approach each day with the end in mind. Never allow anything to cause you to lose your vision on where you're going. Third C, courage. Courage. Never forget the importance of possessing the strength to endure and persevere. Never forget where that strength comes from. It's not from you. It's from that relationship that you have developed over time. It's that important. Now, I want to finish that story I started with Seth, but before we do, Hebrews 11. I want you to think of this, because this is important. Important aspect of how we do this. Hebrews 11, we often refer to this as the parade of faith. In verse 23 talks about Moses. Talks about his mother as well and his sister. Verse 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. That didn't shake them. They kept going forward. They did what they knew was right. By faith, Moses, verse 24, when he had become of age, he refused to be called the son of a Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing he who is invisible. Powerful, because those first steps are going to be tough. The first steps after you come face to face with a great trial are going to be tough. But you got to have faith. You got to be willing to make a choice. It's easy to make a choice when you think you got options. But the only option is standing up for God. That's the only option. And I promise you, if you had the faith, if you had the hope, and you're willing to take that stand, you will witness a miracle in your life. You know, shortly after Seth's baptism and Passover, he received a call from a company that he didn't apply for. He went in. He took the interview. He stood before him as this company as he did before with his commitment and had the courage to state his convictions. The employer was impressed. But he said, I can't give you the job until I fulfill my commitment of interviewing one more gentleman. Seth came home and within minutes, he had a call. He had the job. You know, I took my son out to buy him a pair of boots. And I'm not going to say this to make a joke, make fun of him. It's not the purpose of his. He put those boots on. He looked at me. He says, Dad, I feel like a working man. I said, son, it's because you are. You are. You feel this way. You don't just look at you. You feel this way because of what has happened. Because you were willing to hold on to hope. You were given an opportunity. And you're going to walk it. You have to feel what God gives you. You got to see yourself as God sees you. Take the opportunity. But I encourage you, please do not follow these instructions to get a blessing. Don't do this and think you can bend God's ear to give you what you want. But adhere to what God has outlined for your life for the purpose of understanding that eternity He placed in your heart. To understand and know and grasp your incredible human potential. Do it for that. Do it for that alone. Final scripture. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, 13. I would have lost heart unless I'd had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have just lost hope if I did not have the courage to stand convicted of my commitment. I'd have lost hope if I did it their way. But I trusted God. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Never surrender your hope. Never lose the vision. Stay true to your commitment. Hold fast, no matter what the society is trying to pressure you into accepting. Hold your character in high regard. The God who sees all will see you. He who stands with you is greater than anything that can stand against you. So have the courage. Have the courage to stand with your God. You will see the goodness of the Lord even when your current situation makes it hard to believe. Be obedient. Be faithful. Be diligent. And be ready. Be ready when your Red Sea opens and God reveals the answer that you have been patiently waiting on. Be ready to forge onward as His people. Be ready. God has fought for you. How will you respond? I will end with a quote from Sir Winston Churchill. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of hope, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Always remember, I saw that.